News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is one of the nation's foremost fitness and nutrition experts. With a PhD in holistic nutrition and certified health and fitness instructor, she's who many A-list celebrities turn to when they want to get healthy and fit. Her TV appearances include The Today Show, Dr. Phil, and The Doctors, just to name a few. Welcome to the show, author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Virgin Diet, JJ Virgin. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
JJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, that's great. Now, the Virgin Diet centers around people's food intolerances, and you attribute this to being the real cause of weight gain. First, share with the listeners, what exactly is a food intolerance?
All right, so I took some poetic license here. What happened was I was doing testing in doctors' offices, and I saw a lot of delayed food sensitivities, or IgG immune reactions, and that were creating a lot of problems, from joint pain to headaches to fatigue to inability to lose weight or even weight gain. And then I put that together with hormonal impacts of food, like elevated stress hormones or insulin or leptin, and then also some of the genetic issues like celiac or gluten intolerance or lactose intolerance. And so that's what I put together as this whole global food intolerance.
Right. Now, 7 is usually considered a lucky number, but not so with the Virgin Diet, and you actually attribute 7 foods to causing these intolerances. Share what these unlucky 7 are. I've never used the word unlucky 7, but that'd be a good byline for your book.
So here's the deal, too, before I blurt them, because a lot of people go, oh, my gosh, I can't give up X or Y when they hear the list. And so what I always tell people is you're just doing this for 3 weeks. To see which foods work for you and which don't. You take 3 weeks, so you let your immune system cool off, and then you swap in other foods you probably end up liking better. And at the end of 3 weeks, you're going to challenge each of the top 4 high food intolerance foods back to see, connect the dots between them and how you feel. So they are gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, peanuts, sugar, and artificial sweeteners.
Those are the big 7. Now, I read your book. It's excellent. You do a great job of breaking down these 7 foods and why not to have them in your diet. But I liked how you redirect them to alternatives after the takeaway. And that's what I think people hear all this list. They go, that's my whole diet. What can I eat? And you do a great job. Share like an alternative to milk, because that's a biggie that everybody uses pretty much on a daily
basis. Thank you so much for that, because I think that's the most important success strategy. If you just tell people what they need to take out and you don't give them alternatives, first off, a lot of times we can come up with worse things, right? But you're just setting them up to fail. And nowadays, there's so many great options out there, especially for milk. If you're doing cow's milk, my gosh, almond milk, higher in calcium, coconut milk, cashew milk. So there's these great options. Ice cream, there's coconut milk ice cream with 1 gram of sugar in it. There's even now coconut whipped cream. Yeehaw.
Wow, so there's alternatives.
So it really does get
that's
easy.
Great. These are sweet though. I've never had the ice cream. Is it sweet?
The ice cream's sweetened with monk fruit, and you know I have people pull the sugar. So sweeteners I like there are erythritol, xylitol, stevia, and monk fruit. And so you still get the sweet, but without the calories and the hormonal response.
Without that, and you know, you mentioned calorie. When I was in college, I learned a calorie is a calorie, and so many people are into calorie counting when they're trying to lose weight. I like your idea. You're not a fan of calorie counting. Share why, and then what's the reasoning?
Well, because early on in my career, I saw that it didn't work. I was helping people. I was working in weight loss. I was in graduate school, and I was taught that, you know, it's calories in, calories out, eat less, exercise more. It made sense on paper, but it wasn't working in practice. And I went, well, so if it doesn't work, should we do more of it, you know, and expect different results? No, that's insane.
Right.
So I started looking at why. And your body's not a bank account. It's a chemistry lab. It's all about the hormones. And so food is information. It can't just be calories. Where they come from counts so much more.
Right. So a couple cups of broccoli would have calories, but that would not be considered an issue compared to a couple brownies.
Well, let's look at the impact of, say, you know, a meal of salmon, broccoli, and maybe a little quinoa versus a meal of an ice cream sundae, brownie sundae. The ice cream brownie sundae is going to raise your blood sugar, raise your insulin, and tell your body to store fat. and create inflammation, right. And the salmon, quinoa, broccoli is going to reduce inflammation, keep your blood sugar balanced, and give you nice, steady, sustained energy.
That makes sense. You know, the last show we had a doctor, interestingly, told people completely remove fruit from the diet. We've had other experts advocate eating all the fruit you want throughout the day, and your book kind of meets somewhere in the middle. Share your recommendations on fruit.
Okay, so for fruit, I'm actually writing my new next book right now, and there is something very significant about a short-term pull of all fruit from the diet. I think we need to be very careful with fruit. Somehow it's gotten this pass as a free food, and, you know, even though some of the bigger sources of fructose now are these processed foods with high fructose corn syrup, or we're eating agave thinking it's a health food. If you eat too much fruit, especially packaged fruits like dried fruit or juice, you're going to end up in trouble. For me, I tell people one or two fruit servings a day, and really of the lowest sugar impact fruits like berries, high in fiber, low in sugar. But be careful with them. And if you've got elevated triglycerides or insulin resistance, you do well to pull it all the way out for a while to allow your body to reset and reclaim its sugar sensitivity to fructose.
Right. And I like your list. You have the glycemic index, and you basically kind of show the fruits that are okay to add more and the ones to kind of stay away with, where they're actually candy. Consider them a candy treat.
Yes. Think of them like candy, especially dried fruit. It's just candy. And important when you're looking at fruit to not just look at glycemic load, but also because that's how you look at the difference between, say, an apple and apple juice. You're going to get a much higher glycemic load from apple juice, but also to look at fructose. You know, apples are one of the highest fructose fruits. Apple juice, I would say, is worse for you than a soda.
Wow.
I know.
Interesting.
That's a little bold.
One thing. Let me ask you a question. And I get it. Patients ask me a lot. Why has corn become the four-letter word of veggies?
Well, first of all, corn's not a vegetable. It's a grain, and it's a very high glycemic grain. So basically, you think of it as sugar because the minute it hits your mouth, amylase enzyme starts breaking the starch down into sugar, which means you raise blood sugar, you raise insulin, and tell your body to store fat. But then the other part of it is, the majority of corn now is genetically modified. So that presents its own whole host of problems beyond just the sugar issues, with the immune issues that come with genetic modification.
Right. So our great-grandparents had better corn, and so it's not really we're picking on corn. It's just what it's evolved into.
Yeah. If you are going to go outside, pick some organic corn, and have a small amount of it with dinner, that's one thing. But if you're eating a bag of popcorn, right, with cheese on it, thinking that you're doing some kind of skinny diet treat, you're fooling yourself.
Right. Interesting you mentioned popcorn. A lot of people don't consider that. They just consider that a nice, healthy snack.
Nope. Look at even you know, these 100-calorie snack packs, and so often popcorn's one of them. And I always say, now, who's eating one of those 100-calorie snack packs anyway? But you eat one, and again, if you look at that food as information, you eat the popcorn, raises blood sugar, because it's basically sugar, starch becomes sugar, raises insulin, and your message to your body is to store fat and become inflamed.
Right. Makes sense. And those little 100-calorie snack packs, they conveniently fit one in each pocket, so you know you're going to have two.
Or you're going to have the box of them, because isn't that a serving?
Exactly.
Yikes.
And that's great information on that. So stay away from the corn is on the list. Interesting. And then you give us your website so people can learn more.
The global website is jjvirgin.com, where we have a ton of stuff. Now, we just published the Virgin Diet Cookbook. So Virgin Diet Cookbook actually has free videos, recipes from the Virgin Diet, all sorts of cool stuff there as well.
Well, thank you so much. It's such great information. And to learn more about JJ Virgin or to purchase the Virgin Diet, drop 7 foods, lose 7 pounds in just 7 days, go to jjvirgin.com. To stay updated on the latest health news, dieting tips, and recipes, be sure to follow her on Twitter at jjvirgin. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go to this show at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Thanks for listening. Stay well and stay tuned.